Hasbunallahu ni'mal vakil, ni'mal mawla wa ni'mal nasir. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir la'inir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Alhamdulillahi alladhi hadana li hadha wa ma kunna linahtadiya lawla an hadanallah. Wassalatu wassalam ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen sayyidina wa maulana abil qasim muhammad wa ala alihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin amma ba'd. In order to know Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his mission and his stand, it is necessary to compare him to the other Imams to see what was the distinction and what is the distinguishing quality that Imam Hussein's movement possessed that we do not find with the other Imams. And obviously this fact is clear for all of us, that all the Imams are one and the same. Min Nurin Wahid. There is no distinction amongst them in their ismat and ma'rifat and their imamat. If one is in the place of the other, he would do exactly the same thing that the other has done. The difference comes in the times and circumstances that they faced. And that is what we want to analyze if we want to know the movement and the mission of Imam, so that we can make clear and have a real understanding of what this movement was and why Imam Hussein did what he did differently than the other Imams. When we look at Imam Hussein as compared to the other Imams, there are four things and four angles that differentiate Imam Hussein with the other Imams. The first thing are the enemies that Imam Hussein faced. The second thing are the companions that Imam Hussein had. The third thing is the times that he was living in. And the fourth thing is the environment and circumstances that surrounded him. When you want to know Imam Hussein, we need to see the differences in these four things. So inshallah today we will try to discuss the enemies of Imam Hussein. Who opposed Imam Hussein? Who was Imam Hussein trying to expose? Who was he trying to fight? This is something that needs to be understood in order to understand why Imam Hussein brought out his family and his children to fight against and to rise and to put them in harm's way. When we look at the times or the enemies that Imam Hussein faced, we need to look back a little bit and we need to see that in the time of Imam Ali alayhi salam, He was faced with different groups of people, particularly three groups of people who opposed Imam Ali. There are three groups of people who opposed him. And they came out, they went to war with him, they met him in battlefield, and Imam Ali was able to deal with them. The first people were the people who came out and fought in the Battle of Jamal. Then there were the people who came out and fought him in the Battle of Siffin. Then there was a group of people that came out and fought him in the Battle of Nahrawan. Now these three groups of people Imam Ali had to deal with in his Khilafat. In his time as the leader, he had to deal with these three groups of people. And Imam Ali dealt with them. And these three groups of people, he named them also. He coined a term for them that in history has been their name, and we can recognize them through that name. There were those people who were the Naqisin, the Ma'rikin, and the Qasitin. And all these groups of people, these three groups of people, these three groups of people were those who opposed the Imam. They rose up, they had their issues with him, and they fought with him. Imam Ali dealt with them. He dealt with them. But then there was a fourth group of people that Imam Ali could not deal with. Or I should say, he didn't have the time to deal with. And these three groups, when you look in the Battle of Jamal, you had big names there. Talha, Zubair, Ummul Mu'mineen. They were there. In the Battle of Siffin, you had Muawiyah, Amr ibn As, and his crew. In Nahrawan, you had the Khawarij. And all of them, Imam Ali dealt with. He fought with them. He was able to annihilate them. He killed off two groups. He wounded the third group in such a way that truly he annihilated all three groups. I mean, if you look at the Battle of Jamal, he destroyed the group and the group just scattered. If you look in the Battle of Nahrawan, he annihilated the group and the group was killed. In the Battle of Siffin, you can say, well, Muawiyah lived on, became the Khalifa. But no, Imam Ali dealt with him in such a way that in all religious circles, when you look at Islamic history, you will not regard Muawiyah as someone who's Islamic. He exposed him. He revealed him. He made Muawiyah someone who's despised in Islamic circles. Imam Ali dealt with them. But there was a fourth group of people that were there. And this group of people, Imam Ali could not deal with. He didn't have the time to deal with them. And who were these people? And I want you to pay attention from here to understand what is Karbala. This fourth group of people were, you know, obviously different from the other three. They had no name. They had no title. They didn't rise up. They didn't come out to fight the Imam. In fact, these people are there, and they were the fuel, they were the stimulus for the other three groups to stand up. If you look at the Battle of Jamal, the people in Jamal, they stood up, they were able to oppose the Imam because of this fourth group. The people of Siffin, Muawiyah and Amr ibn As, they came to power on the foundation of this fourth group. The battle of Nahrawan by the Kharijis was fought, and they rose up based on this fourth group. Now this fourth group doesn't have a name. It doesn't have a name. So I'm just going to give it a name so we can refer to it. They will be just from now on known as the people. They are just the people. These are the masses of people. The masses of people who were there. And all these other three groups, they had the ability to rise up because of this fourth group. If this fourth group wasn't there, or if this fourth group did what they needed to do, the other three groups would never had the opportunity or the ability to stand up against the Imam of their time. One of the differences between the three groups and this group, one of the differences in characteristics between those three groups and this group, the reason why the other three group had a name, they have a title, that Imam Ali dealt with them, was the fact that one of the differences in them is that the three groups had something that the fourth group did not have. Those three groups, Marikin, Naqisin, Qasitin, those who came out to fight Imam Ali, they had one thing that this fourth group did not have. It's called courage. It's called guts. They had a spine. These three groups had the courage to stand up. They believed in what they believed in. They thought whatever it was the truth. They had the courage to stand up and tell that Imam that we are going to fight you. They had courage. Even though they were wrong, they're batil, but they had courage. You got to give it to them. You had courage. The fourth group is a group of people that are spineless, gutless, nameless masses, the people. My friends, Imam Hussein understood that the problem that Imam Ali faced, the problem that Imam Hassan faced, was because of this fourth group of people. This fourth group of people, the people themselves. He understood that. That's why Imam Hussein did not target those who were ruling, did not target those who were the tyrants, did not target those who were oppressors. Imam Hussein did not want to expose those people who were at the top. He wanted to expose the people who were the reason for these tyrants to exist. So what Imam Hussein did is that he made a circle. He went to Karbala, made a circle. Imam Ali went to the people and fought them, those who were opposing him. Imam Hussein did not do that. He made a circle around them. And now he made the situation such that if you don't come to the help of your Imam, if you don't come and stand with Imam Hussein, then you will be one of the culprits and criminals of history. Imam Hussein wanted to expose. He didn't want to expose Yazid. He wanted to expose the people on whose shoulders the tyrants stand. That's the people who Imam Hussein wanted to expose. You think Imam Hussein wanted to expose Yazid? Yazid was already exposed. He was naked. He was humiliated, disgraced in the eyes of the people. You think Imam Hussein did all this to expose Yazid? He didn't need to do that. He didn't need to do that. Yazid, when he was the prince, not the king, when he was the prince, he came to Medina for ziyarat. Yazid came to Medina, and as is the prince, he came with his entourage, and this was Muawiyah's way of introducing Yazid to the leaders of the Muslims, to, you know, make sure that everyone knows who their next leader is. So as the prince, he came to Medina, and he came with his entourage, and obviously he had the ulama with him. And these ulama were always around Yazid to make sure that they let the people know that, you know, he's a good boy. Right? He's a good boy. Right? Yazid was brought there. And you see that his habit obviously was that he was drunk all the time. He was drunk all the time. It was very hard to find him sober anytime. He used to drink all the time, and the leaders of Medina were asked and invited to come. And Yazid was drunk. And so the ulama, they came around him and said, Yazid, listen, Muslim leaders are coming. You can't be like this. You can't be like this. You need to get rid of the wine and all these things, you know, and shape up. If they see you like this, there's going to be an uproar, chaos. I mean, we can't have that. He said, all right, you know, take the wine away, put it away. You know, they put the wine away. Yazid asked them, you know, put some itr on me, you know, perfume. They put, you know, the perfume on him. And, you know, and now he's like ready for the guest, and the guests were coming. Ibn Abbas came, you know, and, you know, he smelled. Hey, what's the smell? You know, you can smell alcohol, you know, you can smell the wine, you know, but it was like a mixture with the scent of the itr and the perfume. The ulama are around him to make sure, you know, I mean, these ulama are always there, right? These ulama are always there, who will always be there trying to justify the action of the tyrants, right? Whatever the tyrants, they say, listen, he means well. You know, he really means well. You know, don't say he's bad. You know, yes, I know. You know, he bombed the place out, but but still, the intentions are good. Okay, the intentions are good. You know, he killed 500 people. Okay, you know, your intentions are good. So what? What does that mean? We're gonna forgive you for that? You know, but you always have those ulama who are always there trying to justify the actions of the tyrants. You know, and you know what? Most of the time, they don't even get anything for it. Really, there are times with these people, they don't get anything for it. They don't get money for it. As I said yesterday, they end up working for the tyrant for free. They work for them for free. Nothing. They don't get anything for it. Yeah, Allah, He says, you know, He explains this in the Quran. Right, about the people in the court of Fir'aun. He says, okay, what do you want from Fir'aun? He exposes their heart. What is in your heart? He tries to explain it. What's in your heart? He says that they don't want money. They don't get money from Fir'aun or anything. What do they want? They just want to be muqarrabin. They want to be close to the tyrant, to the ruler. They just want to be in their good books. Such are the ulama. So when Ibn Abbas, he smelled the breath. When he smelled the breath, you know, he's like, you know, he asked the question, what is this? The ulama were like, oh, it's a new type of perfume. Very intoxicating. Salawat. our brothers, I just want you to ask you to move on this side, please, everyone, so we can have some room in the back. There's a lot of room on this side, please, inshallah. Salawat. A new type of perfume, right? You know, like itr mixed with wine, right? So Ibn Abbas was, okay, you know, he just went on. Then Imam Hussein came. When he came to the gathering, right away he recognized it. He said, what's this? I smell wine. I smell wine. And right away he became upset. Imam Hussein became upset. And the ulama were trying to say, new perfume, that will work with Ibn Abbas. It doesn't work with Imam Hussein. It didn't work with him. He said, no, this is wine. I can smell wine. This is a shame. And when he got upset, Yazid, he's a prince, And one of the qualities of princes is that they have no patience. Right away, Yazid said, the hell with this, get out the wine. Bring my wine out. The wine was brought out, and he poured the wine in the glass and offered it to Imam Hussein. Here, have some. Imam Hussein walked out. Tell me, my friends, do you really think Imam Hussein wanted to expose Yazid? Was Imam Hussein trying to expose Yazid that, listen, I'm going to expose Yazid? Everyone knew who Yazid was. Everyone knew he was a slime ball, a lowlife. Everyone knew that this was a scum of the earth. Everyone knew that. Even his close friend, his father, knew that. So Imam Hussein wasn't trying to expose Yazid. Imam Hussein was trying to expose the people who Yazid was standing on. He was trying to expose the people. That's why he made a circle in Karbala and said, if you don't come out of your houses that you're hiding in, if you don't come out and join me, then you will be a criminal in history. You will be a criminal in history if you don't join me. My friends, understand this very clearly. Very clearly what I'm going to say right now. The only Imam who was killed by the people was Imam Hussein. No other Imams were killed by the people. Everyone was killed by somebody. Ibn Muljim killed Imam Ali. Jodha killed Imam Hussein. Everyone Imam was killed by someone. The people came out to kill Imam Hussein. It is the masses that came out to kill Imam Hussein. Yazid, he was giving them money. Yazid never came out. Yazid even denied it. He said, hey, I didn't want all this. I didn't ask for all this. Well, no, Ibn Ziyad was there. Ibn Ziyad came to Kufa with 12 people. Ibn Ziyad came to Kufa with 12 people. No, my friends. Umar ibn Sa'd. Umar ibn Sa'd, the person who was known for his neutrality all his life. Oh, it is the people, thousands and thousands of masses of people who came to kill Imam Hussein. And that's exactly what Imam Hussein wanted. He wanted to expose the people. Anytime anyone says that now we the people, Imam Hussein wanted to make sure that the idol that is called the people is broken after Karbala. Anyone who believes in Karbala, anytime they hear, oh, the people should not be respected because the people killed Imam Hussein. The people killed Imam Hussein. Yazid didn't kill Imam Hussein. The people did. And that's what Imam Hussein wanted. He wanted to expose them, the people. It is you on whose shoulders the tyrants stand. You are the one. It is your silence that is making the tyrant become a tyrant. The people are doing it. Now friends, anyone who understands Karbala would never respect the people anymore. When you say the people, you cannot respect them because you, the people, killed Imam Hussein. And every era, whenever they say the people, no, Imam Hussein wanted to expose you, the people. Now, if you want respect, if you want to be right, if you want to be on the right path, then you have to come to Hussein. If you do not come to Hussein, you will be a criminal. My friends, this is whom Imam Hussein wanted to expose. These are the people Imam Hussein wanted to expose. Not Yazid. Not these things. Imam Ali's problems was what? The people. The people didn't say when Talha and Zubair stood up. It's the people who were quiet. They didn't ask, why are you standing against the Imam of the time? They didn't say anything. When Muawiyah stood up, they didn't say anything. It's the people that were doing it, my friends. It's the people who were at fault. This is what we need to understand. Imam Hussein wanted to fight the people, not Yazid. He wanted to expose the people, not Yazid or Ibn Ziyad. These people will always be there. Yazid and Ibn Ziyad will always be there. He wanted to make sure that we understand that do not be a part of the people. Do not even claim the people as a proof against anything. Because once you say the people, then you are an enemy of Imam Hussein. This is my people. These people. Let me explain about these people from the Quran if you send us salawats. You know, Allah, He speaks about these people in the Quran. He says, قَالَتْ أُخْرَاهُمْ لَأُولَاهُمْ. He says, when all the people will be in the hellfire, right, when they'll be in the hellfire, so like groups and groups of people will be brought there. You know, now they're in the hellfire, right? They're in the fire. The scorpions, snakes and everything, you know. The whole shebang, everything is there, right? They're in all kinds of hardships and punishments. Right, and they have like you're screaming, you know, in pain and this and that. One group will be brought and another group is being brought. And when Allah says the people who came after will speak about the people who came before, meaning, for example, we speaking about the generation that came before us, you know, we'll be brought first, you know. They'll always be in hand, and when we are brought, we'll look at them. Hey, you are my leader. You misguided me. You are my Khalifa. You misguided me. You are my Imam. You misguided me. Right? They will look at them. And these people in the hellfire will say, قَالُوا رَبَّنَا هَاُلَا يَضَلُّونَا. He says, Allah, these are the people who misguided us. Understand this very well. These are the people who misguided us. Yeah. Now, where are they complaining? In hellfire. Right? Both the groups are in hellfire. And one group is complaining about those who came before us. Hey, listen, these were the ones, our leaders, who misguided us. You know, we are lost because of these people. So what? He says, Allah, these are the ones who misguided. So, فَآتِهِمْ عَذَابًا ذَعْفًا. Allah, because they misguided us, give them double punishment. Give them double punishment. Yes, supersize it for them. Can you just imagine that? You're in the hellfire, man. Just deal with the pain you're going through. Why are you concerned about other people? It's one thing you're in heaven and say, Allah, you know, give it to him, you know. You're in the hellfire yourself. You're in the hellfire yourself and you are telling Allah, Allah, give them double. Why double for them? What do you mean double for them? No, give them double. Why double? Because they misguided us. Okay? Really? You know, Let's look at the logic of this now. And I want you to pay attention, my friends. This is really something that we need to understand about the movement of Imam Hussein, if you want to know who Imam Hussein is. They want them to get double. Why? Because they're misguided. Now, logically, it's right. It's right because, hey, listen, I am misguided because of this guy. He misguided me. Let's say I come over here and I tell you all, you know, that listen, you don't have to pray it's not wajib. You don't have to pray it's not wajib. Now, I'm sure this clip will go on YouTube, you know. Right? So now, you all are like, well, Maulana said it's not wajib, so you're not praying. So if you don't pray, then what happens? Okay, you go to hell, and I go to hell with you. Now when we get there, you're saying, Allah, he misguided us. He told us from the minbar, you don't have to pray. So you're right. I misguided you, so I have two punishments. One, I didn't pray. Two, I misguided you. I should get double. And they're right about that. You are right about it, that you will get double. But then, I want you to see Allah's reply. And understand what Allah is trying to teach us. When they said, give them double. So Allah says, nah, وَلَكُلِّن ضَعْفُونَ. Both of you will get double. He says, both of you will get double. Okay, Allah, wait a minute. I'm lost here. I'm a little bit confused over here. Okay, I can understand. These are the misguiders. They misguided us. So, you know what? They should get double. One, because one, they did not. They were misguided and they misguided others. They are dal and mudil. So they should get double. Why me? I'm just dal. Why am I getting double? But Allah is trying to let everyone know that yes, they will get double because they are lost and they are misguiding others. But you will get double because you are lost and you let others misguide you. You are the ones who made the tyrants tyrants. You are the ones who let those tyrants become tyrants. You are the ones who let the oppressors become oppressors. And now you want to complain about them? No. They had no power in their hand. There was this one person. If you all just spit on him, he'll die in your spit. You didn't stand up. You didn't make the stand. You didn't say anything. That's why he became a tyrant. That's why he became a tyrant. My friends, these people are the culprits. In every society where there's a tyrant, the people are the culprits. He said, how much power does a tyrant have? He's one person, a group of people. Ibn Ziyad came to Kufa with 12, right? So now what happens? How many people stood up with Muslim ibn Aqil? In the thousands, right? In the thousands. So what? These thousands were not able to beat 12 people up? My friends, no. It is you who were weak. You made the tyrant a tyrant. You let Ibn Ziyad come into power. My friend, this is what Imam Hussein wants to expose. He wants to let us understand that no, Yazid, yes, he will be there. He's going to hell. Ibn Ziyad is going to hell. But you, the people, you came out to kill me. I want you to be exposed in the eyes of the people. This is what Karbala is teaching us. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala. My friends, no tyrant can become a tyrant unless the people allow it. It will never happen that anyone can oppress others unless the people allow it. And this is what Imam Hussein, this is the people that Imam Hussein is fighting. Now the first quality of the people, right? The first quality of the people is that the people are ignorant. The people are ignorant. Not ignorant in the sense that they don't know, but ignorant, as I explained yesterday, that they know, but they haven't believed. That is the ignorance that people have. You see, Muslims, mu'mineen, the issue is that they don't, you know, not that they don't know. Yes, of course, we know. We know Allah, we know Tawheed, we know Quran. Many of us are half of the Quran. There are many who are alim also. But the issue is that we don't believe. And because of that, you see, we end up doing what? We end up not knowing what to do and becoming a tool for the tyrant to stand on our shoulders. My friends, Imam Hussein was the only Imam who was killed by the people. Just remember that. It is the people who killed Imam Hussein. Not Yazid ibn Ziyad, they were there. But the people came out to kill Imam Hussein. You know, a person, old person, beggar on the street, doesn't even have a house of his own, homeless guy. He found his way to Karbala. And came to Umar ibn Sa'd and said, "Ibn Sa'd, what? Listen, I want to be a part of the jihad also. I want to get the reward also. I want to go to heaven also. But I don't have a sword. Give me a sword." Ibn Sa'd said, "You don't get a sword." He said, "Then I will be deprived of jihad and heaven. What will I do?" Ibn Sa'd said, "Pick up some stones and throw them at Hussein. At least if you do that, you'll get some reward." He says, "Good idea." And so he picked up stones and threw them at Imam Hussein. These are the people who came. Right? These are the people. Right, who came to kill Imam Hussein. My friends, the people who killed Imam Hussein were the people who didn't know the difference between Ali and Muawiyah. They were the people who did not know the difference between Hussein and Yazid. How hard is it to differentiate between Muawiyah and Ali? How hard is it to differentiate between Hussein and Yazid? But these were the people who could not differentiate between who Hussein is and who Yazid was. The people who killed Imam Hussein were not the people who did not know who Imam Hussein was. It were the people who knew who Hussein was. See, if the army of Sham came and killed Hussein, it would have been one thing. If the army of Sham had come and killed Imam Hussein, yes, you can say they didn't know who Hussein was. Because in Sham, people thought Imam Ali is a murtad. They didn't know he prayed. They were shocked when they saw, when they heard that Ali died in a masjid. They were like, "What was he doing in a masjid?" They had heard that, you know, these people have left Islam. They're murtad. That's why they should be killed. Yes, it's right for them to be killed. Right. That's what the people of Sham. If the people of Sham had come and killed Imam Hussein, yes, you can say that they were ignorant of who is Imam Hussein, and so they killed him. But Imam Hussein was not killed by the people of Sham. He was killed by the people of Kufa, who knew who Imam Hussein was. Those people in Kufa knew Hussein. They lived with him. Hussein lived with them. Hussein's father ruled over them. They had a house there. They were neighbors. They were friends. These were the people who, they knew who Hussein was. Hussein wasn't hidden for them. They knew exactly who Hussein was. Hussein lived in here not long ago. You know, if someone lives in Seattle for some years, people know them, like he moved to another city. He came back after 10 years, you know, "Oh, brother, you're back." You know him. And Hussein wasn't a person that, you know, you can say was mean or something like that. No, Imam Hussein, the person that he was someone that was likable. His likability was very high. Imam Hussein was a person that you would like. You know, there are always certain people that when you meet them, you just like them because they're so nice. They're so cool to be with. I mean, it's just like, wow, he's such a good person. Imam Hussein in his personality was a likable person. So if you lived with him, you would grow fond of him. You would like him. Imam Hussein was a person who lived amongst these people. So obviously his personality was such that people should like him. So they did like him. They knew him and they liked him, but still they killed him. My friends, the people who killed Imam Hussein were the people who knew who Hussein was. They knew who Hussein was. Now let me just tell you, my friends. I don't know if you have been to Sham. Those who have been to Sham would know this. Right? I've been to Sham. And if you go to Sham, really, you see the remains of Muawiyah's house, or Yazid's house. You see the remains. Ruins. You can say. The ruins of his house. No one cares. No one cares. I went to the grave of Muawiyah also, you know. I went to the grave of Muawiyah, you know, it's locked up. There's, you know, things around it, like a fence around it. It says, do not piss here. You know, because the people came there and he has to piss over there, right? Really, you know, and the issue is that, you know, you can see it there, you know, you can just go there and see it. You know, they didn't want anyone to go inside because of the fact that, you know, they will, you know, in their minds, you know, do something dirty there. Right? This is Mavia. I don't know even where Yazid is. You know, you hear rumors, you know, about him, you know, some horrible place that he is in, but hey, you know, the worst place that he's in where Allah, you know, is keeping him. But the issue is that when you look at the relics and the ruins, this is Sham now, the same Sham that says Ali is a murtad, this and that, the people of Sham who did not know who Ahlul Bayt were. When you walk in the bazaar from those relics, from those ruins, you come to a small tomb. A small haram of the daughter of Imam Hussein, whose name was Ruqayya. Imam Hussein used to call her Sakina. You come to her grave. And friends, when you come to her grave, there you see this grave. Where is this? I just want you to recognize. This is Sham. This is Sham. In Sham, when you come to her grave, everyone today, all the people of Sham today, Muslims, whether they are Shia or Sunni, everyone comes there to ask for hajat and make dua there. She was the 4-year-old daughter of Imam Hussein. They all come there to make dua, they all come there to make their hajat at her grave. What is this place? The same place that the people regarded Ahlul Bayt as murtad, as non-Muslims. One grave of Sakina is there. And you see how it changed the people of Sham. How it changed the people of Sham. Hussein is saying that I sent one Sakina to Sham and it changed Sham. 72 of us you killed here and you were not changed. 72 of us you killed here. My friends, understand this. This is, you knew us and you killed us. You knew who we were. We lived with you. This is the people. This is the ignorance. Ignorance is not of not knowing. The ignorance is of knowing but not believing in it. That is the first quality of people. That's what we have. Really, my friends, we just need to make a dua to Imam Hussein. Hussein, you know, really, We are weak. We know. We know you, but really, we are afraid. We are afraid that we don't believe in you. We're saying, don't leave us alone. Hold our hand and take us where you're going. Do not leave us. Hold our hand and take us. You know, really, my friends, this is a very tough state to be in. Who knows where we would be if Imam Hussein was alive. And this was Karbala. Really, we need to stand strong and hold fast. And make sure that we understand the message that Imam Hussein wants to give us. Understand that message. My friends, Imam Hussein, at least we know this much. Imam Hussein, he cares for even the weakest one amongst us. Imam Hussein really cares for even the weakest one amongst us. You know, when you look at Imam Hussein, how he was, really, I want you to see who Hussein was. We hear this all the time, but again, just give you another reflection of this. Hussein, whenever anyone who came to Hussein, who stood under his flag and went out for the battlefield and gave his life, Hussein did not leave him to die until Hussein went there to him and bid him farewell. This is who Hussein is. Even the weakest one, the most unknowingest of one, a Turkish slave or one of the companions of Hussein, a Turkish slave who was in the Battle of Karbala. I mean, he didn't even speak with Imam Hussein. He thought of himself as someone lowly, someone who's no one and nobody, a slave of one of the companions of Hussein. He wanted to fight for Imam Hussein. He didn't even know who Hussein. Hussein is up there. He's the leader. He's the Imam. He looked at himself as someone lowly, someone nobody. Hussein, we are thinking like that, that we are nobody. You are so high up there. We are the slaves of your slaves. And here we are. That slave went out to the battlefield, and in some place he was hit. And he fell down with an injury, a fatal blow to himself, and he was dying. And then tears came out of his eyes that I'm a nobody. I'm just a nobody. I'm dying here. Allah, accept my shahadat. His eyes were closed. His eyes were closed. And at that point, he felt a coolness like a shadow is on his face. Like a shadow is on his face. He opened his eyes and he saw that Hussein is crying above him. Hussein is crying above him. He said, Mawla, you have come to greet me. I'm a nobody. I'm nothing. You came to greet me. Hussein came over and kissed his forehead. Hussein cares for the weakest one amongst us. Really, Hussein cares for the weakest one. Hussein, we are telling you, we are weak. Hussein, we are weak. Oh, my friends, Hussein gives everything he has. My friends, you cannot do any ahsan on Hussein that he doesn't return that ahsan on you. Hussein doesn't remain indebted to anyone. You will see this. I guarantee this to you. If you cry for Hussein, if you spend yourself for Hussein, Hussein will repay you. He will clear his debts. He will make sure that all his debts are cleared. Every debt that he has given, he will make sure that he clears it with you, my friend. You cry for Hussein, you will see what Hussein is going to give you back for this crying. You mourn for Hussein, you will see what Hussein is going to give back. He will not be indebted to you. He will not be indebted.
better for you. The only one that will find is indebted to his time now. The only one that will find is indebted to is Zainab. Zainab, how can Hussein repay your debt? That's why when Hussein comes in front of Zainab, his head is bowed down. No, my friends, just know this. When Hussein went out the last time, when Hussein went to his horse Suljanah the last time to go to the battlefield, it was the habit of the Arabs that someone who has helpers, someone who has people with him, they will always put him on the horse, help him to get on the horse. When Hussein came to his horse, he recognized that no one is there to help him to get on the horse. So Hussein looked around, saw his companions, and says, "Ya Habib." He called out his companions. Zainab came out. Zainab came out, and she said, "Hussein, I will help you to get on the horse." Hussein, do not bow down, Hussein. Today, I want your head to be raised when you die. Ha ha ha.